All right, go ahead and be seated. We're going to reverse the order a little bit today again because I'm going to go preach at another church after a while. But good to see you here. I think we might have Madeline's class in here too, her ladies' class. But be praying for Madeline and Debbie. They lost their brother this past week, Glenn Phipps II. So be praying for that family, if you will, please. All right? Take your Bibles and let's go to Acts chapter 14. We're still studying some aspects of the life of Paul. Obviously, a very interesting life, one of the most interesting in all of the scriptures. We follow the life of Paul and learn from his life. So Acts chapter 14, and let's begin reading. I'll read through these verses 19 through 28. Verses 19 through 28, Acts 14. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples. They went back for a purpose and exhorting them to continue in the faith and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attaliah and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done, all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. So just a portion of Scripture, a little portion of the life of Paul. We know that in church history there have been men and women that have been persistent during the times of testing and trials and in their calling and in their faith to the Lord. They're sort of like, they were like the Energizer Bunny. They just kept going and going and going no matter what. And we know that there was Joseph and Moses, Daniel, Jeremiah, and many others. But Paul certainly falls into that Hall of Fame category. Philippians 3, 13 through 14, Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul said, "I'm going on, I'm pressing, I'm hard at it for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ." And that's one reason he was able to take the problems that he had and not quit. So, first of all, we see Paul persistently rose. Paul was knocked down. He was knocked down. Look at verse 8 in chapter 14, verse 8. Again, where he's talking about some of the things that took place in his life here, where they healed a man. And this is what took place. There sat a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. He was crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. And the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying, in the speech of Lachaniah, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." So when the healing took place, they began to glorify Paul. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, the little body, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. So they gave him these names of these planets and representing godlike characters. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they rent their clothes. They didn't go buy a new jet. They rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." So he's telling them, no, don't worship us. Paul had the apostolic power to heal a man, and he did, and they wanted to worship him. So much for all of that. But guess what? The mood changed. You know, it doesn't take long for some people's mood to change when you disagree with them or they don't see things the way you see them. But in Acts 14:19, look there. "And there came thither certain Jews. They came from Antioch, Iconium, and they persuaded the people, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he was dead. They were worshiping them, and all of a sudden, somebody came in and caused problems, and then they decided to stone him. So he went from a hero to a zero real quick, and it turned into an attitude, really, of murder. That was exactly what they thought they had done with the Apostle Paul. Man's praise in this world is fickle. It's shallow. We shouldn't get too taken up with man's praise in the world. We don't live, hopefully, by people's opinions and by what they think of us. Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of man bringeth a what? Snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved." Don't live by people's opinions. Paul was stoned. He was stoned outside of the city, taken out there, and left for dead. And that was meant for an execution. Sometimes we run through a few problems. We may be criticized. If you go out on house-to-house visitation, you'll discover that you will not always be welcome. In fact, most of the places, they won't come to the door now. And then if they do, they're not going to welcome you usually. You'll find one every once in a while. It's a delightful thing when you do find one, and most of the time they're saved, but you get to talk to them. But people want freedom to express their opinions, but they don't want to hear many times a scriptural viewpoint. They don't want somebody to tell them, "You're lost, you need Christ, you need to be born again." That's something they really don't like to hear. But if we're going to do right and live godly, then like Paul, we're going to face the consequences. 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all," how many? A-L-L. "All that will live godly," means you don't have to, but you should. "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You say, "Well, I'm not suffering any persecution anywhere in my life at all, anywhere." Well, you may not be living like you should for the Lord. You may not be speaking up. Because I'll promise you, if you live for God and if you're verbal with it in a kind way, and you ought to be kind and all of that, people are going to take issue with you. And sometimes people lose their jobs because of it. That type thing can happen. And so it does get pretty rough. And so it's interesting to note that the Holy Spirit chose the word "shall" rather than "might." Shall suffer persecution. And so by comparison, obviously ours is not as bad as many of the early church people went through, and Apostle Paul and those. In Acts 15:26, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder if we would be willing to even do that. Think about Jesus, what he did, and what he went through just because he loved us. Hebrews 12:2-3, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him did what? Endured the cross. Jesus endured the horrible cross. He despised the shame of it. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It wasn't easy for him, was it? He despised all of that, but it happened, and he did it because he loved us, and we should never get over that fact. So here's Paul. He's knocked down. One moment they're praising him and want to worship him. Next moment they've stoned him to the point of death. But Paul was knocked down, but he didn't stay knocked down. He did not stay down. We have, again, a lot of persecution in church history. You had the Spanish Inquisition, which was horrible, and the Reformation. Many of the leaders paid a terrible price because they took a stand for the truth in the Reformation. And today, around the world, a lot of that is happening, and there are a lot of people that are suffering. We don't realize it, but persecution is intended to snuff out the cause of Christ, but it never does. It actually usually always helps in that situation. Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. And so Paul, going through all these problems, comes to the forefront again. He rises again. He doesn't quit. He doesn't get discouraged to the point of questioning God and getting mad and saying, I'm not going to continue with my calling. We can't control getting knocked down, folks, but we can control getting up. And so we need to be willing to get up. In 1832, there was a man defeated for the legislature. In 1833, he failed in business. In 1834, he was elected to the legislature. In 1835, his sweetheart died. In 1836, he had a nervous breakdown. In 1838, he was defeated for Speaker of the Legislature. He was defeated for Congress in 1843. 1846, he was elected to Congress. In 1848, he lost the renomination. In 1854, he was defeated for the Senate. In 1856, he was defeated for Vice President. In 1858, he was defeated for the Senate again. And in 1860, he was elected President of the United States, and that was Abraham Lincoln. So if you get down, just get back up. And we have the spiritual edge, and we should do it. He was knocked down, but he didn't stay down. And see in your outline, he kept his focus which way? Upward. He kept his focus upward. We've got to keep our focus on the Lord. Photographers know the importance of focus. They use their lenses right, and they focus properly to draw the viewer's eye to the particular subject or the point of focus, whatever it may be. You ever notice Tom Harvey? Where's Tom? Is he in here? Did he go to another class? I saw him a while ago. But he'll say, no, move, do this. And you back up or whatever, and then he'll get it just right. He's focusing on the right thing, maybe the plaque or whatever it is. He gets it just right. Photographers know to do that. And so we need to sometimes refocus, don't we? Or get the right focus. When we're going through all of these trials, focus on the Lord. Keep your focus always upward. If you focus on your circumstances, you'll get defeated. You'll be depressed. You'll be down and all of that. Focus on God. Focus on Him. And that will be the main thing. What happened to Peter when he was focusing on Jesus on the water? Did all right, didn't he? What happened when he took his eyes off of Jesus? He sank. But then he got his eyes back on Jesus. That was good. And he came back to that place. But he refocused. And And sometimes things are looking bad. But Luke 21:28 says, "Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Focus on the Lord. And sometimes we need to just focus on the second coming of Christ. He is coming again, and that'll solve all of our problems. So Romans 8:28, you know that one. All things work together for good. And Paul believed that. We have to believe that, or we'll be defeated. Difficulties come. Discouragement is going to come. But God has a purpose for all those things he allows in your life. You may throw up your hand and say, "I don't know what it would be. I sure don't understand it." That's because you're not God. And God does understand, and God does know, and God has a purpose. It's just a matter of where you focus. Here's some good verses, by the way, if you might want to remember that if somebody calls you and they're sort of down and discouraged, you could use these verses to help them out. I had a young man call me the other night, and he was just so despondent and discouraged because of some health issues. And I gave him a Bible scripture and had prayer with him. But here's a good one, 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen," all these things around us, "but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are" what? "Temporal." They're temporary. "But the things which are not seen are eternal." We go through these problems. Philippians 3:13-14, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark." That was Paul's point of view. And so we need to focus on the Lord. Matthew 6:33, the Bible tells us, "But seek ye" what? "First the kingdom of God, and then his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So focus on God, seek God, serve God, use everything that happens to you for the glory of God. Secondly, we have Paul's persistently rose, and then secondly, Paul persistently returned and resumed. He persistently returned and resumed. In Acts 14:21, there in verse 21, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch." You'd think, well, you must be crazy, Paul. That's where you got stoned. No, Paul said, there's a greater need. I've got to go back. I've got to help these new converts, these new Christians that are there. They need help. And he was answering a higher calling than that. What did he do when he got there? Well, in your outline, he confirmed the believers. He confirmed them in the faith. That's important. We have a discipleship ministry here, and that's so important. A lot of churches, they get them saved, and they might get them baptized, but maybe if they do, then they don't work with them, and they just assume everything's going to work out. It's good when a church has a program like that, a ministry where they can follow up, and we have people who volunteer to do that. You may want to do that and help people out in discipleship. New believers need to be discipled, confirming the souls. What's he talking about? He's teaching them. That's what he's talking about. Confirming the souls, teaching the souls. First, that they should continue in the faith. That was something he always emphasized. And then secondly, he warned them, expect tribulation. Keep doing the faith, continue in the faith, and expect tribulation. 1 Timothy 4:16, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them." The doctrine's the teaching of the Word of God, the truth that was once delivered to the saints. "Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." You'll help yourself and you'll help those that are listening to you. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory now and forever. Amen. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Never is there a stopping point, I don't think, when we cease to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, God gives us a choice, but we need to choose to press forward. Paul pressed forward, always pressing forward. How did he do that? Well, we see that he invested his life in other people. Investing his life in other people. 2 Corinthians 4:15 through 16. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. For all things are for your sakes. And he's talking about investing in the lives of these people. Could you remember, and wouldn't it be good for us to remember that somebody needs your help? There are people who need your help, especially new converts. And there are others that maybe hadn't been saved a long time, or they've never been through certain things, and you have, and you can help those people out. And so don't let them down is what Paul is saying. It's important. So he confirmed the believers in the faith. He helped them out, taught them. And then he commanded the believers to the Lord. He commended the believers to the Lord. 14:23 and Acts, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And so the word commended there means he made a deposit, had some action in it, a commitment. And what he did was they made sure that they had elders, or that's another word for pastors. And each church had their own pastor, and they worked, and they ordained them in these different churches, elders, plural, throughout the different churches, and pastors, overseers in those churches. And then what did he do after he did that? Well, verse 24, and after that, they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. He just kept moving. He kept moving. He helped those people out, made sure they was established, got them someone who would be called an elder, or we would call them a pastor, and establish those churches. You know, the church is important, isn't it? The church belongs to the Lord. It belongs to God. And he puts overseers in the church. Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. That's the pastor. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He made them overseers, and we need to respect that office. That doesn't mean that if a pastor does something immoral, or if he steals money, or something of that nature, and it's obvious and it's taken care of, you have to take care of that. But as long as you've got a man of God who's living by the word of God, who's setting the example, he's a pastor, we ought to follow his leadership and follow his vision. He is the overseer of the local church, and leave everything and ever all of that happens in God's hand. And in ministry, we're to do what Paul did, what he said. So Paul's persistently rose, and Paul persistently returned and resumed. And then thirdly, Paul persistently reported. He didn't notice when he gives a report in Acts 14:24. Look there in 24 through 28. He didn't complain. He had a lot of reasons to complain. But after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. That's where it all started. They were pulled out of that local church. Local church is supposed to produce missionaries. the local church is supposed to produce preacher boys and evangelists. And if they're not doing that, they're failing. And when they were come together and gathered the church, the local church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. They took time to tell the church what had happened, and the church took time to listen too. And there they abode long time with the disciples. They needed a little rest. And God said they stayed there with the disciples a pretty good while. Thank God for missionaries, and thank God that they need, sometimes they just need a little rest too. They need what is called a furlough. Sometimes a furlough is more a working furlough, but at least they have a lot of unusual things that we don't contend with. But Paul didn't complain. Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So he glorified God in his service. And then he kept traveling for the Lord. He just kept on moving out, kept on serving, traveling for the Lord. And he went back to Antioch in Syria. And then he went where it had all started, as they had commissioned him to go, and to go on those missionary journeys, three, I think it was, total missionary journeys. But he kept traveling for the Lord. And then, B, he kept testifying for the Lord. He kept testifying for the Lord. Acts 14:27, he's talking about the fact that when they were come together, gathered church together, they rehearsed all that God had done. He's testifying what God did. He wasn't taking the glory to himself. And no wise missionary would do that. No wise evangelist or preacher would do that. But he kept on testifying for God. And Paul talked about God's goodness. He talked about how God had opened doors, and encouraging words and edifying words he gave back to that local church. Your support, your prayers, and your confidence in us doing the right thing has not gone void. It's been worth it. Hasn't returned void to you. And so he had good report, good things to say, edifying things to say. You know, we need to talk about God's blessings, don't we? We really need to talk about God's blessings. Sometimes our conversation is so trite. We talk about politics. We talk about sports. We talk about children. We talk especially about our grandchildren. And that's all okay in its place, but we need to have a testimony, a verbal testimony. We need to be praising God and telling people what God's done. And you don't have to be arrogant and, like you're better than anybody else. But sometimes we don't give God the credit he ought to have. And if we're talking about our grandchildren succeeding, we ought to say God has been with them, and we know that God answered our prayers, and God blessed them, and we just want to give God the glory and that type thing. In other words, we need to give God the glory. That's what Paul did, and Silas and others, when they'd go back and give that report. We need to do that. So let me leave you with this. Paul's persistence should challenge us. Don't stay down. Expect trouble and persecution, but get up and go on in the strength and power of the Lord. And we can get back up with God's grace and God's help. That's what got Paul back up. And know that troubles and tests will sometimes knock us down. You've been there. But you got to get back up. You've got to go on. You've got to serve the Lord. And then, again, we must keep our focus on God. If you keep your focus on your circumstances, you'll be depressed all the time. We shouldn't be joyful because our circumstances are good or bad. We should be joyful in the Lord. Just be joyful in the Lord. And keep our focus on God. And then, as God blesses and encourages us, let's help other people out and help them get up. Don't criticize them when they're down. Baptists love to stomp people when they're down. I knew he was going to fail. I knew she was going to fail. That's not the attitude. Go help them. Go pray with them. Go help them up. Help them to get back on track and serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We pray now you would use it for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we know we're going to have troubles and problems and even persecution. But help us to not let it get us down, but to rise to the occasion with our focus always on you, knowing you're going to see us through whatever we face. And we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.